Welcome to the Change of Plans podcast. I am Joe Aguirre along with Vin Provenzano. And last week's episode, Vin, I'm going to be honest, a little off the rails.
Went a little left there, just slightly off center.
You had done a nice job of planning out last week's episode, and you sent me an app, and I downloaded the app, and I filled out the information, and I saw what we were going to be talking about. Very impressive. Well done. I closed it out thinking when I get home, I'll look this over. We'll do the show. Got home, couldn't get it back up. It wouldn't work. So I came on with you. We started doing the little pre-show. I still couldn't figure it out. And I thought, this can't be this complicated. It's an app. I'm a smart guy, pretty hip for 48. I'll get it. And I never did, which is unfortunate. But the good news is
we're going to make something for today.
Right. Saved you time having to write a show for this week.
It worked out. I thought it was good. I don't think I laughed that much in a long time, just because I swear, you know, because usually we set it up pretty well, right? And it's very organic. Like, this is all new for me. You've been doing this forever, but I think we volley pretty well together. So I'm just watching you and you're teeing shit up, and I'm like, oh, he's into it. He must have looked at my app. We're good. And then it was an 800-pound man running downhill, and I'm like, okay, this is where the show is going today. But that's life, dude. That's a change of plans, right? We had a plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right? That's perfect.
But that change of plans worked out just fine. I think people haven't heard the episode yet, because I had someone point out today so kindly that, hey, your episodes seem to be running behind. Like, you know, are they all pre-recorded? And I'm like, yeah, that's typically what we do. So maybe we have to start talking like in the future tense. So this way, by the time they get aired, they seem on time.
Let's talk about St. Patrick's Day then.
I was going to go right into the 4th of July, actually.
Yeah.
we're going to skip right to July.
I wonder if people think that podcasts are live.
I 100% did until I started doing one.
Now, a podcast can be live. You can do a live podcast. Most people don't, because, you know, there is some degree of editing that goes into these things to make sure that there's no mistakes, no issues or problems or technical glitches. But you could do it live. Maybe at some point, if that's what the people want.
Dude, we could do a live stream podcast, dude. Because then we could just answer questions. The only concern I have is what happens when we're live streaming and there's no one there. Like, that is a horrible feeling.
I don't know what that feels like. That never happens to me. I've been blessed that people care what I think. It might not be too many, but it's always a few. And yeah. I get it. I get, obviously, people want to interact. That's, you know, that is important, but we're still in the process of, you know, sort of framing this out. What is this podcast and who are these two ravishingly handsome fellas on my screen?
I mean, when people they look at us, do they think it's like a dating site? I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, like a live auction. You know, like my wife had her high school reunion Saturday. And let me tell you something, as much as I love my wife, it is the most annoying thing in the world to be married to her. Because all I hear all night, your wife's so beautiful. She's never changed. She's the nicest person in the world. Like, everywhere I turn is my worst nightmare. Like, I was so excited to go meet somebody who had some shit on my wife, right? Like, you know, she used to sucker punch hamsters, like fucking Kit Kats in the hall. Nothing, dude, nothing. Never mind the fact that she likes to talk to everybody. And I had to watch some guy who's an orthodontist pull the, hey, have I worked on your kid's teeth line? And I'm just laughing. And I'm literally, every time she talked to a dude, I was taking pictures and I was sending it to her son. And I'm like, look at your mom. look at this hussy just working the room, dude after dude after dude. And I'm just, but on the flip side, I never felt so good about myself. I'm like, bro, I'm like, they've had some hard years. And I'm young. Like, people graduated in 1990, bro. Like, I mean, that's probably when you graduated.
Yeah, it is. 93. But that's
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe people were still alive.
Yeah.
Like, I graduated in 98. Like, I mean, I'm like, people, I didn't know you could get that old. It was crazy. It was crazy, but it's super annoying. It's everywhere we go. I went to my sister's wedding. Your wife's so beautiful. I get home, she's mad because I told everyone she was a 7. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, she's got to have, like, I need something to come out of the woodwork that I can point to and be like, ha ha, you're not great. You're not. But it was just a love fest, a Claudia love fest on Saturday.
That's disgusting.
And she's like, I hate going to these things. If that was me, I'd fucking go. I'd have a reunion every year just to feel good about myself. I go to my class reunion and it's some drunk as a skunk person be like, you were mean to me in high school. And I'm like, here we go. And I'm like, well, clearly you wonder why? Because look at you now. You're still the same fucking person. But no one ever says Vin was so great. Nope. It's just a bunch of drunk bags giving me the bird being like, ha ha. Not my wife, though. Fantastic. Just top notch. Grade A. Top shelf. All the time, and it's super fucking annoying, horribly annoying. First world problems.
Well, let's break something down for me then, because I this year had my 30th high school reunion, and I bought tickets for it. And my wife loves that stuff. We went to my 25th, and you know, she was eating it up and like, tell me about Joe in high school. So a couple days out, I don't know. I just decided I don't really care. I just don't care. Everybody knows what I do because everybody still lives in Connecticut and everybody knows. So what is there to catch up on?
I don't see. You sound like my
wife. Is that a terrible thing to say?
No, my wife feels the same way, you know. If I wanted to see these people, I would have made an effort, right? But like,
yeah,
I'm kind of a peacock, dude. I like going to these things. Like, you know, I like seeing people do well, but I'm not going to lie. I have this little part of me that likes to see when people are fucking tanking, right? Like, especially if it's like the fucking cool kid who was an asshole in high school and now he's fucking president of a meth lab, right? Like, I'm just like, yes. You know, but yes, my wife, she feels the same way you do. I think this might have been her 30th, maybe two, but she is a very much, you know, I don't need to see these people. I don't want to rehash it out. But then she goes and she can work a room. You know, and
Listen, there's a video of me dancing through the middle of the room at my 25th. And I didn't want to go to that either, you know, really no interest. And it's funny, like some of the friendships I have from high school are people who I went to high school with, who I wasn't particularly close to, who I've through various whatevers have run into in the real world as an adult. And we've become friends. And it's like, you know, my wife's like, hey, what was high school like? I didn't really know that person. I do now, but I didn't really then. Like, I was aware of that person, but there was no relationship. Yeah, like,
I like to think, like, I got along with everyone in high school. So I kind of like seeing everybody again because you kind of pick up where you left off, right? Like, you know, for me, like, I get to shoot the shit with people, have a good time, and it helps that I've done okay, right? Like, would I feel the same way if I'm clerking at fucking a mobile gas station?
When you said clerking, I was like, well, that's not bad. You'd still be doing law. And then you're like at a gas station. Clerking, not the law, clerking.
The law thing bites you in the ass, bro, because then everybody, like, it becomes a consultation all fucking night long. Like, all night long. Or I did the person's divorce and their ex is there, right? Like, and then they threaten to beat me up, like, at the high school reunion, which has happened on occasion. Like, you know, but it's always the question after the question. But I just found it I found it amazing on Saturday, and it never ceases to amaze me. Although I will say the one thing I'm finding with my wife is she adopts the personality of whatever TV show she's watching. So we just got done watching Griselda, right? And my wife is the biggest coke dealer in the world now. Like fucking hands out. We were like four episodes deep, and we went to go see Matt Rife at the casino. And so we went to dinner the night before at a restaurant. And I'm weird. I only like short glasses. I like rocks glasses. Don't give me a fucking tall glass. Don't give me a martini glass. I'm only drinking out of a rocks glass, and I'm not drinking from the bottom of the glass either. I got some weird shit going on. And the lady went to go bring me over my espresso martini on the rocks. And a martini, she's like, no, my husband does not drink out of those glasses. Like, and I'm like, okay. Oh, okay. And then I'm sitting on the couch, and she got a little snappy with me out of nowhere. I had to shut the show off, bro. I'm like, what you doing, Griselda? Like a mob wife. I love it though. But yes, no. So I think my wife might be, you know, parlaying as a fucking coke dealer pretty soon. Who knows? But she loves that show. Just loved it. Like, thought it was like the sweetest thing in the world until she found out this person's really killing people. But yeah, totally adopted the, you know, goes out all black, pearl necklace, curly hair. She looks like the part. I'm like, get after it. I kind of like it.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, nice. Right? It's kind of exciting.
It is. It's just, I just hope no one swings on me. She's about like 4'11", dude. She looks like a fucking spider monkey out there. But yeah. So I'm sure she's going to appreciate that story too, because I've been ragging on her about it for a while now. Have you seen that show, by the way?
I've only watched a little bit of it. I'm into it. I want to watch it. I just got to sit down and put the time in.
I mean, I love my mom. Listen, I don't get me wrong, but I mean, to have like a fucking drug cartel mom has got to be fucking dope. I mean,
that's a different life.
Yeah, I think 3 out of her 4 sons got shot to death. So that's like the drawback, but like fucking gangster too, dude. You know, that's something to strive for, kids. You know,
think about the confidence it takes to decide your life. Crime. That's it. Just crime. You're just going to whatever. You'll kill. You'll steal. You'll deal drugs. You'll just do whatever. You're like, I'm going to be a criminal. And you commit to it 100% with the belief that you will be the greatest criminal in history.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get that when I'm watching like shows like Power. Like, I'll watch a show like Power, and I'll see Ghost, and I'm telling you, as soon as I shut that TV off and I walk out to my car, I'm walking different, bro. I am. You can call me Ghost. I'm that guy. I'm that guy, you know? But,
yeah,
you know, it's funny, but that kind of leads us to like the topic we wanted to talk about today, right? Because whether you want to be the best grocery bagger or the best drug dealer, it's about maximizing, you know, your life, right? It's maximizing your tools. And I think one of the things we had talked about beforehand that I found interesting. So I heard it last week. We were going to talk about it last week, but we're not going to rehash into that. But I heard this quote and I thought it was pretty dope, is that, and I think it was from Jim Rohn. And his quote was, all life forms but humans strive to maximize their potential. Right? Like, so if you really think about it, there aren't, you know, a line is not going to half-ass throughout the day, right? It's not going to be like a half-ass line where like, fuck it, I don't feel like chasing down this gazelle today. Right. Or, I mean, it could be anything from a tree. A tree grows as tall as it fucking could grow till it can't grow no more. Like, everything, every life form on a planet is going 100%. But we have the option and the dignity to choose whether we're going to half-ass it or not, right? So I just thought that was an interesting quote. I never really thought about it that way. When, you know, you could, I think every person could sit back and say, hey, I think I could do more, right? Like, imagine if we evaluated our life and be like, you know, okay, I'm good here, right? I'm content here. But imagine if you weren't content and you really strive to live that maximum life and like where you could be. And, you know, wouldn't you be curious about it? So I think that was one of the things that I was thinking about that, you know, especially with me and you, is that when you have multiple things you're doing, right? You have your podcast, you have your radio station, you have your real estate, you know, I have my law practice, we're doing this, I'm trying to do the coaching practice. But I think it's, you know, for us, we're trying to maximize our time. Right. Yeah. And I think that's, I'm trying now to figure out, is this all I could do, or could I do more? And not more things, I think just put more concerted effort into what I'm doing. But I just thought it was just a crazy concept of we're literally the only living things on the earth that don't give a maximum effort 100% of the time, which is just crazy. Right. I don't know what your thoughts were on that, but if you think about, we're the only things on earth that are capable of underperforming.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually talking shit about a fellow DJ of mine who's very good, but some days he just mails it in. You could just see the effort isn't all there. And funny enough that you have Tom Brady over your shoulder. Because I was thinking about and compared this guy to Randy Moss, Hall of Fame player, but known for half-assing it sometimes, taking plays off, right? Not always putting in the maximum effort if the ball wasn't going his way. And so,
they say that's Shaq,
a prime example, right? Right? Like, I mean, even the best of the best doing the best that they do as a human. Fuck it, I don't feel like doing it right now,
which is crazy. Like, I mean, but it's also great that we have that choice, right? That I think that's what separates us amongst a bunch of other fucking things from like every other life form, is that we have that choice to do that.
Yeah,
right. And to your point, whether you're some dude behind a desk or you're a superstar athlete, you're gonna have those days. You know, but I think it's important to acknowledge that, hey, I'm having a day, but let's not make it a permanent. It's a moment, right? It's okay to have those moments where you're not being your greatest at all times. But I think it's also your duty to adjust from that moment and kind of take the next step to where you want to be. But they said the same thing about Shaq, you know, like, you know, as dominant as he is, the dude didn't work fucking hard. And he, you know, he said it on countless interviews. If I maximize my potential, what could I have been?
Right.
But I think it's just, the life is a game of adjustments. And we're able to do that. We can't, you know, if you're going max 100 miles an hour all the time too, you can't adjust that 100 miles an hour. It's like driving, right? You could adjust to the traffic and your circumstances at 30, 40 miles an hour. But if you're going 100 miles all the time, you're bound to crash. And I think that's, you know, that's the beautiful part about being a human being, is having those options and those choices and being able to take your foot off the gas and then put it back on the gas. And you just got to know what time to do it. And, you know, I think for me, that's one of the things that I struggle with in everything I do. I mean, you ask my wife, you ask my friends, when I'm doing something, I'm going 100 miles an hour. Like, I cannonball into shit. It's just the way I am, which is good because I have no problem doing something new. But the other problem is I don't have a plan, right? So, you know, you could go 100 miles an hour and you could give all your effort, but that doesn't mean you're maximizing your life or you're maximizing your effort because you're not being strategic about it. So I think you also have to have the ability to adjust. You know, and so you can maximize that effort, audit your life a little bit, figure out what you need to do and not do to get to where you want to go while maximizing your effort, but doing it smartly, if that makes sense.
You just got me thinking too about, you remember in the late 90s, the Atlanta Braves
Yeah.
had, uh, uh, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, and their pitching coach, Leo Mazzone, he told them the key to their success was to only go on every pitch 90% max effort.
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to achieve their long-term goal of pitching 7 innings.
Correct.
Throw every pitch at 90% of what you got. And by the 7th inning, you'll have maximized your potential. And you look at the success that those guys had figuring out the plan. And again, understanding that if I throw 100% on every single pitch from the first inning, I'm burned out by the 5th.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. You know, again, when you strategically take a little off to your advantage, the things that you can do as a human being, it's insane.
Yeah. I just had this conversation with my, you know, soon to be 17-year-old. He's a workout fiend, loves going to the gym. Can't tell him any different. He knows everything, but you know, I'm in this new workout program. You can't tell because I'm just not quite there yet. My progress.
Your sweatshirt.
It's a sweatshirt, right? It's my bulky fit. But what I had tried telling him, I was, you know, he goes 100% on his first exercise, like just maxes out a million reps, and he's gassed for the rest of the workout. I'm like, dude, that's counterproductive, right? Like for me, when I'm working out, I do everything to 90%, right? So this way I could get through my workout and I'm maximizing each exercise. Because you could only give 100%. I had this argument with my – it wasn't even an argument, maybe more of a discussion with my wife the other day when people are like, oh, I gave 110%. No one gives 110 fucking percent. It's 100%.
Right.
Right? Like, and if you're giving 100% in one thing, you have nothing to give anything else. Like, that's it. So I think it's – to your point, it's being strategic on your efforts you're giving – depending on what your goals you are. Like, I'm not a big, you know, well, life gave me this because it was fate. No, it was decisions from point A to point B to point C that led you to where you are now, right? And the beautiful part is you control every decision. Like everything that happens in life, except for an accident, maybe, but even then you made choices to put yourself in that position and you just happen to be there. But everything is dictated by what you're doing. And then if you can maximize your decision making, you can put yourself wherever you want to be. Like, yeah. And it's amazing that I was going through a walk with my dogs the other day in the woods, and I'm listening to this book now on, it's really trying to control your thoughts, because your thoughts steer the way you feel physically, right? And they kind of steer how you're going to feel mentally throughout the day. So you could literally rewire your brain to, like for me, like I try to be grateful, right? For everything, really, yours is a mistake or something good happened or something bad happened. If something bad happened, it's a learning experience. I'm grateful for being in that position where I can recover from that, get strong over that, and move forward. But if you could retrain your brain and understand, well, this thought causes this physical reaction, which causes my mind to go do this, right? Now you know, well, that's how I got there, right? So now if you could retrain your brain, well, I don't want to get there anymore. How do I avoid that? I change my thought. My thought goes to my physical goes to the result. And then you're changing your life just by the way you're thinking. You know, and I never put that the science correlation together of just a thought and the way your brain works and how that's connected to how you feel physically and then your physical motion to get you into the action that you were doing, all based off of, it could just be one thought that triggers. I mean, we all had that, right? You had
sure.
a bad thought and it just ruins the rest of your fucking day. Like, no matter what happens, you're in it because that thought triggered something, which was an avalanche of bad thoughts, and then it just ruins your day. And I think that's a struggle everybody has, but you have to be able to compartmentalize, like you said, where understand the process of, you know, I'm going to maximize this point to get to this, and then get to this result. So
It's interesting when you were saying, and because I agree with that, I hate when people say they give 110%. It's like, what scale are we using? The 110% scale? What a stupid thing to say. And again, look, I think we have the ability to pace ourselves. Have we talked about this? You an MMA fan?
I like MMA. I just can't watch it. I'm not going to lie. It's just because I'm soft as a fucking baby shit. I can't. I feel bad for him. I get grossed out. I can watch it. I will say I really, and this sounds bad, but I have a much more difficult time watching the girls because they are just fucking wailing on each other.
Yeah.
Like I think it's so much more violent. Like yeah. The guys, because the guys is usually like one shot, like a couple shots, you're fucking done. These girls are just fucking out to kill everybody.
They beat on each other something fierce. But here's the thing, and here's what you should know. I was actually watching a particularly gruesome fight this weekend, and I enjoy those, not gonna lie. In the fight, though, it's so interesting, and most of my favorite fighters will typically not win in a first round knockout of any sort.
Yep.
They have like a feeling out round. In the main event is five rounds, five minutes each, right? And so a smart person will not approach this fight all systems go in the first round. They'll feel it out a little bit, figure out what's the best course of attack. Slowly, two, three, four, five. I just have to win three of these rounds to win the fight. It's as simple as that. So you can kind of give up that first round, figure out how to make your opponent feel vulnerable, and then you're off and running. So again, strategically pacing yourself to achieve your long-term success, that to me it is such a uniquely human characteristic. And I think it's something that people struggle with. And I think young people today who have that more instant gratification, I think have a harder time looking at and pacing themselves when it comes to stuff. The whole idea of YOLO, you only live once. It's like, yeah, but next weekend you'll be around too, right?
Yes, and like 100%. And I'm a big live your life. I don't live, you know, I don't live to survive. I'm living to live. But I think you hit it on the spot with these young kids. They're not seeing the struggle that got their favorite YouTuber to where they're at. Right. They're not, no one ever posts, well, I had a shitty day today. This is what went wrong. And a bunch of fucking posts until they got successful one day. You're getting a post of everyone's good stuff. And right. I think, you know, I think with the younger generation, it's such a dichotomy between the younger generation where they want it now. Right. They want all of it right now. I'm entitled to it now. And then you have the mid to older generation where they're just hanging on, right? And I don't know which one's more frustrating. The, well, I'm kind of content with my life, right? So now I'm going to do everything just to maintain my contentment, where it's just now you're the whole purpose of living is just never to change. Now you're not living, you're just existing, right? And I think, you know, for me, what I'm trying to do, and it took me 44 years to get there, is I don't want to be the same person I was last year, right? So if I'm looking at, you know, if I'm trying to plan my year out, you know, I look what I did last year, right? And I'm like, okay, that was cool, but how could I be different this year, right? And how do I get there? It's not, hey, I want to be a better person. You put the statement out on fucking Instagram, and then all of a sudden it happens. It's not. It is the strategic planning of I'm going to do A, I'm going to do B, I'm going to do C, right? But you're not doing it all at once. You're maximizing your effort in block A, right? You're maximizing your effort when you get to B. You're maximizing your effort when you get to C, and until you get to go and you can look back, be like, cool, I'm not the same person I was when I was 44, because I didn't want to be the same person I was when I was 43. And it's that growing, but understanding that it's, you have a lot of time, right? People are like, well, you don't have a lot of time on this earth. You got to fucking YOLO it. No, you, like, yes, you may not be here tomorrow to get hit by a fucking Mack truck. I get all of that. But the 90% of us have a long fucking time to do shit, right? Yeah. But it's not, the point is not to, well, let's take a long time to do that one thing. Like, you got a lot of time to do a lot of cool shit, right? Like, so if you have a plan and you successfully execute that plan, now you can do it in a shorter period, and now you can do more cool shit, right? But it is setting those habits, setting those small goals. This is what I tell people. You don't – everyone wants the big fucking goal, but it's not the big goal that you're striving for. If you hit all your little goals, that leads you to that big one. Eventually, you're going to get to the end of the fucking rainbow, but you still have to get through the rest of it to get there. So, you know, I think that's the one thing that frustrates me about even myself, right? Like, I have these, I want to do a podcast. I want to do coaching. And I remember when I was getting into the coaching practice, you know, I went through the program and I'm just sitting there not doing anything. I'm like, why don't people want to hire me? Well, maybe I'm not qualified to do this stuff. Right. So I spent literally 9 months in that thought process and not doing anything. But then I'm like, okay, well, let me reevaluate what I need to do and kind of jump off the fucking porch a little bit and be like, okay, this is the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start my website. How am I going to do that? I'm going to hire this person. I'm going to work with this person. Okay. After that, what am I going to do this, that, and a third? I think you know, it's those little things, being strategic and maximizing your effort in those little windows, that's really going to be productive in life. It's like when I first met with you at your house and we're about to shoot the first podcast. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. Like, I shouldn't be here. And you're like, you just got to do it. And I remember telling you, I'm like, listen, you got to force me to get here. Like, now I'm a willing fucking person. You don't got to kidnap me anymore. But it was I need that person to sit there and say, hey, I know what my weaknesses are. I talk a lot, but I'm not going to do it because of imposter syndrome or whatever I'm doing. So it's just taking that step. And I try to tell people, whatever you're trying to do, just take a step. You know, and we talk about maximizing efforts. And ideally, yes, you would like to, every step you take, it has a meaning, right? Like, it's a full step, but it doesn't have to be that. Maximizing is not a physical or mental effort. It's just sometimes that maximum effort is just taking that step, because that's huge. I think the first step, I think, is always the toughest step to take, and that's maximizing your effort is just taking that one step.
When you mentioned our jobs earlier and all the things we do, you left out that I teach at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And I bring that up because I have spent the last decade counseling a lot of young people on a career in broadcasting. And they'll come to me and ask me, hey, should I do this? Should I take this opportunity, this job? And here's where, and I've never, like, I hate Tony Robbins. I'm just not into, I always found George Carlin funny when he was like, you don't need self-help. Like, take the book, the self-help book, go up to the clerk, tell him to stick it up his ass. I'm already motivated. Yeah. I'm going to go do it now. People, you know, the students ask me what they should do. And this is where I really, and I never really thought about it like this, but I always tell them, look, set short-term goals. And every decision that you make, you got to ask yourself, right? You want to be a famous podcaster. Well, you do this opportunity here. Is that a step towards what you're trying to be, or is that a step away from it? Because I'll tell you right now, it takes about 2 steps away from what you're trying to be. You're not doing it anymore. You're out.
Oh, correct. It's people are like, I want to do something new. I want a new me, but you're trying to be a new person doing the same old shit, right? Like, you can't, I couldn't be where I'm at today, and I'm very different than I was when I was 39, 40, if I did the same thing I did for 40 years, right? And with these kids, they're like, well, how do I get to be a great podcaster, social media, or whatever the case may be? Well, you're not there yet, right? So you got to do something different. You can't keep doing the same shit you were doing and expecting a new result. Like, that's literally the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, it doesn't have to be that, to your point, it doesn't have to be a major change. It could just be a small habit that snowballs into something else. But if you're able to develop that small habit, because then you're like, oh, I changed that. If I could change that, I could change this. And then maybe I could see those changes and now I'm seeing it. But it drives me crazy. And it goes back to, once again, we've talked about it countless times, the resolutions. Like, that's why they never fucking work. Like, you got this new plan, new year, new me, you're doing the same shit. Like, and then it tanks in 3 weeks because you're just being you, which is, you may be fine, but you're clearly not, because you were trying to do this resolution. So everyone wants to be better, but they want to be better while doing the same thing. And that's, you know, that's hence the change of plans, right? Like, you need to change the plan to get to a better place. And it's just, you know, these young kids, I know I'm getting old when I say these young kids, because, you know, I used to be that young kid, but they don't get it because they want it now. And there is no now. That's a 0.5% of kids out there, right? But I think it's, you know, I think if people establish their goals, like, for me, I know old me was, well, I want job security, I want the money, and I want material things. First 40 years of my life, I was fucking shallow. Like, I'm not like, listen, dude, like, my parents worked hard, but we didn't have much. I was like, fuck it. I want the big house. Got it. I want the Benz. Told you I get it. I got it. Check my watch. Check my suit. Like, I just watched Hitch the other day when the dude was like, power suit, power nice. Tie,
yeah.
Power. Like, that was me. I was that dick bag. I literally walked around and I'm like, look at all the shit I got. And now my goals are, like, I just want the peace. Like, I just want to be calm, right? Like, there's nothing more I enjoy other than being with my stepson and my wife is the silence, the quiet. Like, I, you know, I want that peace, but and that's in a 4-year span, Joe. Like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago I was walking around being I didn't think I was a dick bag. I mean, people liked me, but like, if you ask what I wanted, like, hey, did you make it in life? And I'm like, yes. And it was, none of it had to do with whether or not Ben was happy. Like, none of it, yeah. like zero. So it's crazy to me just to think that small period of time, how much I've changed. And I hope people see that, who know me now, that knew me then. And to be honest with you, there's probably a lot of people that I hung out with then I'm not hanging out with now. Not that they're bad people, but once again, it's, if my goal is peace, I got to make sure I'm hanging out with people that are bringing me that are calming my fucking waters. But it's okay to rehash or reassess your life at fucking 40 or 48 or 60. Like, who gives a shit? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you could be 60 years old and, you know, you're here for another 25, 30, 35 years. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Joe, if I'm here at 90, hold the other, dude, I'm out. I'm fucking out. Like, but like, my point is, you got a lot of time, you know, like, so people are rushing through fucking life. Like, I don't have a lot of time on this earth. That is fucking wild. Like, that whole Tony Robbins, you know, fucking David Goggins, like, fucking man up. You don't have a lot of time. Got to be a warrior. Like, our life isn't meant to rush through it. Our life is meant to enjoy it. Like, live your life, you know? So yeah, sorry about that rant, but I get so worked up about it because
no, that's
I live
good.
That life.
Let me touch on a whole bunch of stuff that you just said, right? Number one, I'll give you this. I have a 20-year-old daughter, lives at home, went to school during the pandemic, had a messed up senior year, right? She turns 21 May 30th. I told her in December, I said, how much money you have saved? And she had nothing. And she lied and said she had some money. And I know she didn't. I said, well, listen, starting today, every dollar you save until May 30th, I will match it dollar for dollar. What's the limit? No limit. She goes, so if I come up with $5,000, you'll give me five. Yeah, you'll have $10,000. I asked her 2 days ago how much she has in there. And she said, she's got a few bucks, more than you think. I said, give me the number. She wouldn't give me the number. Now, my wife just traded my older daughter's car in, got $1,000 for it, and we decided we were going to split the money between the two kids, $500 each. So I said to her today, or my wife actually pointed it out, you don't have any money? Dad said he would match dollar for dollar. She goes, I got $500 in that account.
All right.
And my wife goes, that's money that we're giving you. That's like the 500's part of the match. That's money coming from us. This kid has saved literally in 2 months, nothing. With the, knowing that they're, I'll double the money.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's crazy.
See, I would have never done it with our kid because I would have been fucked. Like I would have been I'm blessed, but like normal kids, yes, dude. Like that's wild. Like imagine if it was me and you as kids and our parents are like, listen, we'll match your money. Like
I would have been loaded.
I would have sold my sister. Like she would have been in Colombia somewhere fucking see ya, dude. But that's wild. I thought where you were going with it though was she's like, well, you got to give me another 500 because now we got 500 in the bank account. See, that's where my brain went. Cause that's that lawyer brain. I'm like, listen.
Yeah, that's where she was trying to go with it too. That's where she was.
So she's pretty bright. Like she tried to pull a fast one on the old man.
She's looking short term. Yep. She's thinking short term. She's also thinking in her head, May's a long time from now, right? She works like 30 hours a week. She makes like $16 an hour. By May 30th, okay, I will bet you she has less than $500 in her account.
Yeah, 1,000%, dude. Like, but that's also... 1,000%. But I think too, if we thought back to like when we were 21, right? Like, I mean, at that point, you think you're living forever and you're like, fuck it, I'm 21. I'll start saving when I'm fucking old, like 30, right? Like, cause that's what you think when you're 21. So, yeah, no, it's, but you know, we talk about it now, but like, if I'm being honest, I mean, if someone had said, hey, I'm going to match, I'm going to go fucking make money. But like at 21, you're not thinking 2 months down the road. You're trying to get to Friday. Right. Like you're
absolutely. You're, but it's 100% the wrong approach.
Oh, no, it is. But we can say that now because I mean, you're old. I'm old.
Yeah. It's funny when we say when we say in our 40s. Some of us, it's been a while. Some of us, it's a newer concept.
Yeah, I'm mid-40s. That's what I tell my wife. You know how many times I said Saturday that my wife was a senior in high school while I was in eighth grade? Like 700 times.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. That's, so, but it's, yeah, go ahead.
Here's the other thing. I you mentioned the resolutions thing, and you know I hate that. And again, I think part of this kid's problem was, right? First of all, if she was saving money, I would know she was saving money. You know why? Because she would announce it. And that's part of the allure with the social media, right? Yep. It's like, I got to tell you everything I'm doing. I'm a doer. I just do things. I don't announce it. I don't tell anybody I'm doing it. I just do it. And it becomes the thing that I do. And I'm definitely motivated by the idea of I could get something from things. Doubling the money? Yeah, I'll do that. How do I do that? I don't understand the lack of motivation. I don't understand that at all. And again, to me, it's so simple, because if you want to do something, you just have to be making steps towards it. Like you said before, there doesn't have to be big changes, but are you angling towards the thing that you want? This goes for anything. This isn't just for a career. You like that girl?
Yep.
Every move you make, without being a weird stalker, is it moving you in the direction of you got a shot or you don't? If you're moving away from it, you start talking to another girl, you bang the other girl, two steps, it's over. You're out.
You're out of the game. But it's the immediate gratification. Everything is immediate. And that, I think that's the problem, is that you don't have to work that hard to get what you want anymore. Right? Like, you don't. Like, if you don't have money, there's ways to go buy shit on fucking Amazon and have it delivered to you tomorrow. Right? Like, oh, you had like that girl. Well, I don't want to put in an effort, so I'm just going to swipe fucking right. Right? Like, you're in school, you know, I think that's probably the only thing that me and the kid butt heads about is school, because he's National Honor Society, and every once in a while he throws a fucking D in the mix on a quiz. And nothing infuriates me more. Because, and it's not so much you're not a D student, you don't give a D effort. And this is what I tell him, and he gets mad at me. I'm like, if you gave 100% and that D was what you had in the bank, I'm not even fucking mad. But I don't get to give a D effort. Like, right. I don't get D days, right? Like, I don't get to be average on a fucking Wednesday as an adult. If you're really trying to do your job, be a dad, you know, be a husband, like, you got to be on your A game. And for me, you know, I think, hey, he's a funny kid, so we will get in these arguments, and then he'll go downstairs, and then he'll text me, thought about what you said. Like, he's a very introspective kid, but the kids don't realize, you're right, you don't need to get A's. You know, what are A's these days? But it's the effort, right? And then, to be honest, you're not putting in a ton of effort to get fucking A's in the first place. So that, and that's a whole other story for a whole other day, because high school now, teachers now feel bad for it because it's a joke. You're retaking tests. It's impossible not to do well in school. But the point is that, you shouldn't be fine with, well, I have a bunch of money in the bank, so it's okay if I give a fucking D effort this week, just because you've banked a bunch of A days, right? Like, yes, everyone, you can't have an A day all the time, but you just go throw it fucking in the towel. Because what ends up happening, and this is what I told him, I was like, it's one D here, it's one D there. Then you're like, well, these are okay, because I have enough in the bank to carry those D's. Then all of a sudden, those fucking D's are more than your A's. Now you got nothing in the bank to offset it, right? That's like, okay, I made a bunch of money this week, so I'm going to take the rest of the month off, and all of a sudden I'm at fucking zero again, because I had 4 days of A effort and fucking 25 days of dick effort, right? And we don't get that luxury anymore. Well, most of us don't, right? Like, and that's that, going back to that whole, I really don't believe in fate. I really think it's everything, and where you're at is because of a decision that you made, right? And then you could say, well, I had bad luck, right? Like, this happened, I lost my job, I got in a car accident, I got sick. Okay, it put you there, but the next step is based on the decision you made after that happened. Right? It's not always going to be easy, but it's a decision that you made that got you to that point. And it's just, you need to maximize those decisions. And you can't, like you said, you can't do it 100% of the time, but you got to do it more often than not.
Can I give you some earth-shattering information?
Yes.
You just used the term luck, and I hate that word. I don't think luck is a real thing, and this is something I tell people all the time. I don't believe in luck. The slogan for Clover Crest Media is, the harder we work, the luckier we get.
Correct.
I think the word luck needs, the word you should substitute there instead of luck is fortune or opportunity, depending on the context of what you're talking about. You put yourself in position to succeed. Opportunity is something that may present itself. you still have to take that step. And again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying, where the step you take when an opportunity comes up, is it the goal that you wanted, or is it just the moment? Or is this, again, going to take you on a different path? Are you ready to go on a different path and try something different? If you are, go ahead. And if you're not, ask yourself, is this a step in the right direction, or is this taking me away from it? And you're going to run through life. There's going to be all sorts of things like that where, and again, I fear for younger people because of the sense of the instant gratification, right? The idea of achieving and working towards long-term success is lost on young people. Just completely lost on young people. And I would say this, when you achieve something after putting in effort over a long period of time, is the best high you're ever going to have in your life. And correct, for a lot of people, until they're in their late 30s or 40s, will never understand that concept.
Well, I think a lot of people just never understand it. They never see it. Right. Like, so, you know,
they blame bad luck. Well, yeah, didn't work out. This happened.
Yes. Yep. The excuse game is crazy. Right. Like, and I could almost expect that from a younger generation because they just don't know yet. But I think it's equally a problem in an older generation where it's the excuses of like, well, I'm here now. I'm 50. Like, what's the point? Right. Like, which for me is just equally infuriating. But I think, I mean, achievements are nice, right? Like, you want to be recognized as I'm the best at this, right? If you can, right? Like, you know, I wanted to get X, Y, and Z. I achieved it. I feel good, but you only feel good for a moment. What I really hope for people, because that achievement is just a moment in your life, is that instead of working towards a specific achievement, it's just, how about we just try to be better each year or each month or each quarter? Like, just being better. Because if you just focus on being a better person, a better version of yourself, being healthier, being happier, whatever that constitutes, like, you may never have the crowning jewel, that achievement, but what you did achieve was a fucking great life, right? Because that, hey, I worked, I'm busting my ass 60 hours a week. I did it for 15 years. I got the big fucking house. And for fucking 48 hours, you're like, dope, dude, I did it. I remember when I bought my first big house, I was walking around like, dude, I couldn't believe how big my fucking house was. Got a corner lot. I got a fence. I got a two-car garage. I couldn't even believe I had a two-car garage. I'm like, yo, I made it. You know what my dad said to me? First time I go to my house, oh, got a fucking corner lot. I wouldn't have bought this. Like, immediately, like, I worked all that time to get a big fucking house to show people. And I made my achievement, and within fucking 8 hours, it was like a balloon deflated, right? And that was how I was just living my life. I'm like, I bought my CLS 550. I got the Ray Donovan car. Fucking dope. I got my achievement. It was good for like 48 hours. And then I'm like, oh, what's the next thing? Instead of focusing on how am I just going to better my life? Like, what do I really want out of life? And then you're getting that continuous high of, oh my God, I'm a better person. I got a better quality of life. And you're feeling that sense of achievement when you acquire something, but you're feeling that every fucking day just by living your fucking life, right? And it's, I mean, and people will tell you, I'm in a bad mood sometimes. Like, listen, you know, if I'm batting 50% throughout the week, I'm happy with that right now. That's not my goal, but, you know, I could be a curmudgeon. Like, I'm not sitting here and be like Vince happy all the time, but I know I'm happy in the aspects I need to be happy at, right? At my house, I got my peace, I got my calm, I got my family, and you know, and then I try to take that into other aspects of my life, which I'm working on, and I'm sure you got things you're working on, but it's the people, you get the old generation that are just stuck and content, which is just as annoying as people who just want it now. I don't even know what's worse, to be honest with you, because those 90% of those people are content. Like, they're not even happy. They're just like, well, it's better than being shitty, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not really happy, but I'm not really bad. I'm just me, you know? Like, imagine that. Say you go, you're on your deathbed, and you're like, my life was vanilla. It was like, eh, right? And I think that going back to what we were talking about maximizing your life, I think it just comes down to that. Do you want to be that person that, you know, your last hours, and you think about your life and you kind of shrug? Like, that'd that's got to be the worst. Like, yeah, right? That's got to be the worst feeling. You're just like, eh, it was okay.
Need a better ride than that.
Yep.
Straight up. Changeofplanct.com, by the way, is the website. You can actually email Vincent@changeofplanct.com, and you could talk directly to the man, the myth, the legend, Vin Provenzano.
That's me. That's me, everybody. Yep. That, and that's Joey Bag of Donuts. I just gave him that name because, you know, I like calling people named Joe, Joey Bag of Donuts. It's good. It's good. I will say, though, dude, I think we got to start ending our shows again with Don't Be a Dick. I don't know how we're going to squeeze it in today, but I've had three people this week be like, hey, Vin, they texted me, you would have been proud. I wasn't a dick. Like, you know, we went away from it, but I think our audience is going to want it. So we ended this show kind of on a serious note. So maybe we'll pick it up next week. But I just got to throw it out there because that was a hit, man. We got to bring it back.
Yes, I 100% agree with that.
Yep.
If you like the new podcast, make sure you like, subscribe, share, comment, do all the things that you do to help a podcast out. Changeofplanct.com. Make sure you look up Changeofplanct on the gram. Vin's always doing super cool social media posts and stuff.
Check out the website.
People love it. People love it. And if you're interested in this guy giving you some direct advice, hit him up. The website is there, changeofplanct.com.
And hit us up on the comments. If you want us to talk about something, you want to air out something, or just a topic you would like us to touch on, I think that'd be awesome too. So we don't want to have to rely on this brain trust all the time to think of cool shit, you know, where there's only so much space between my brain and Joe's brain, and yeah, I think that makes one complete brain. So
if you want to avoid more of last week's catastrophe,
dude, every fifth one's gotta be a mulligan, dude. We're gonna have the mullies. Like, we can't give a maximum effort all the time. Like, you know, and sometimes you just need it to go off the train and tracks a little bit, and then we bring it back.
And I learned a new app. I learned a new app, and I think that to me is something, you know. Small steps.
It's been fun, my man. It's been fun. Yeah, small steps, change of plans, all that jazz. Check us out, me and Joey Bag of Donuts, and we'll catch you on the next one.